4 nights here.
I'm Adam Richman, culinary traveler and gastronaut, and you are feasting your ears on Knockout Radio. Who wants a knuckle sandwich?
You know, you haven't gotten a liner in a while.
That's true. I've totally dropped the ball.
Huh? You want to come on? Or are you yelling at me why I'm live on the air? Like, and now you don't want to come on the show? Your boy is just got here, by the way.
Which boy?
That'd be Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith? That guy's a legend.
There you go again.
I love that guy.
Well, you can love the guy. I mean, I'm okay with that. Mike Richmond is right around the corner as well.
That's a Macho Man Randy Savage fan.
You know, I asked him if he got the socks. I believe they got sent, you know, to his Minnesota house, and his brother doesn't leave until tomorrow. So I just texted Justin to make sure that it gets done because, yeah, they have to be worn in the fight. They have to.
If it doesn't get mailed, I can go to Clearwater tomorrow morning and pick them up if you need me to.
All right, maybe we'll do that instead.
I can pick them up and then maybe pick up a pair of Hulkamania ones if they got them.
Never mind. Now I'm not doing it. Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Just for you. I won't get nothing for me.
Nope. Not doing it. I'm going to have them mail them now. Because you cannot be trusted.
Oh, I'm not going to just take them. I would
yes,
ask.
Yes, you would.
I would put them on and just walk out.
Let me tell you this. So I went to lunch with my son and some other friends the other day. We went to a sushi buffet on 19. Oddsock Official's corporate headquarters is right around the corner from there.
Okay.
So I drove over there. And my contact wasn't there. He's just getting over COVID. I believe today is his first day back. And I banged on the door. And they let me in. Not happy about it, but they let me in. The place is amazing.
Really?
You know, I've been to sock stores before, you know, and I'm not saying anything, you know, out of school. I mean, there's other companies, there's competitors. I was friends with a guy who ran the one in Disney Springs. It's just set up differently. And I felt like a kid in a candy store, first and foremost. Okay. Now maybe I was more excited because I liked these images better than the other location that I went to. You know, I don't care about NFL teams. I don't care about Major League Baseball teams. I don't want to wear a pair of socks that have the St. Louis Cardinal logo on it, even though former employee of the St. Louis Cardinals. But when I walked into Oddsock Official.
Hold on. Being a bat boy makes you an employee.
Yes.
I thought that was like charitable causes. Like, yeah, you volunteered.
I got paid.
Oh, so you're a professional bat boy.
I was a professional bat boy. Yes.
Well, you should have worn those socks. Those go all the way up to the knee.
I have a pair of those.
Those are the socks. Those are the ones I have.
You know, matter of fact, I was going through, you know, when I found some of those t-shirts a couple months ago now, I found in a Sani sock. And that's the white sock that you would wear underneath the stirrup sock. I found three autographed Mickey Mantle baseballs.
Oh, what?
How about that?
Wow. That was a good day.
I put them back in storage. But back to Oddsock Official. So I'm walking around, and I'm literally, and I'm not saying anything that's not true, and you know this.
Yeah.
I don't get excited about stuff. You know, I have a lot of stuff. I have more stuff than I need. I have more stuff than I can ever wear. You know, I only wear 8-Man Strong and Knockout Radio. So I don't, you know, I walk in this store and I'm taking photos to put on my social media. And I'm thinking, which pair of socks, if they walk out right now and they say, Randy, since you're endorsing us, pick a pair of socks. I couldn't do it.
There's too many choices.
I honestly couldn't do it.
Wow.
I mean, you know, and there are some socks that are cool. Like the Hulk Hogan's are cool. All right. But I wouldn't take Hulk Hogan over the Randy Savage socks. I wouldn't take Hulk Hogan over the Macho Man socks. I wouldn't take Hulk Hogan over the Rocky Balboa socks or the Clubber Lang socks or the Ivan Drago socks. And then when I think I have the order of which ones are best, I see the Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, the American dream.
And I think I want the Dusty Rhodes socks more than I want the other socks. Why? Put the headset on for me. Whatever. You always use an excuse to not come on. Yeah, I know. He's already been on once. He'll come back on. We're waiting for him to come. We can put Mike on. Put Johnny on. Whatever. We'll put Mike on. Yeah, put Mike on real quick. Well, Johnny, you're going to come back on, though. But this way, Mike can get more socks.
Yeah.
All right, so don't go nowhere. So I think that the Dusty Rhodes have to get got. Have to get got? Is that good English? I have to get the Virgil Runnels.
Yeah, I mean, that's your guy. See, that changes things because you have a personal connection with the American Dream.
I do.
Like, so it's all about the connection. That's why Hogan, for me, would be like the one. Like the Hulkamania ones, the red and the yellow alternating. I like weird stuff. I like the not match.
Before we invite Mike on and he has the headset on, you have to give me your word that when you go there tomorrow to pick up the socks for Mike, if they're not going to be overnighted to the hotel, that you do not leave there with a pair of socks.
What if I buy the socks? I'll buy them.
That's fine. You buy the socks.
Done.
All right, we'll get it done.
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Not too bad. Yeah. You excited for Saturday or Friday?
Yeah. I'm always excited. I'm always get jacked up for fight night and then fight week. The energy of fight week is, I've experienced it many times, but it's still, it's still the same. You get, for me, I'm very always calm, cool, collected, but the excitement is still there to go out there and rock out on Friday. But, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited.
I got to be real careful, Matt, because he's a Marine, but, you don't look real excited. You look calm, cool, collected, like you said. It's, like Johnny's running around still reliving, his fight from a couple weeks ago, and you're like, just where's my socks?
Yeah, I just kind of take a business as usual approach.
What do you know about Dakota? And does it even matter? I typically ask that. Do you even care?
I know a decent amount about him. I knew of him in the MMA scene for many years. Obviously, he's a Midwest MMA fighter, and now he's transitioned to bare knuckle. And I know he's been a tank in bare knuckle. I want to say he's 4-0, maybe 5-0. And he's got some wins over some big names. I know his style. His style can be difficult if you don't have the right timing, rhythm, and the right footwork to deal with someone like him. But I very much look forward to that. I don't think he's fought someone as fast as me, hand speed-wise. And I don't think he's fought someone that has a combination of hand speed with great punching power. I know he fought Lieben, who's got great punching power. But Lieben, you watch his bare-knuckle fight against Dakota. He was punching really slow. His punches were really slow motion. And that's just not the type of hand speed you're going to see from me.
Matt, so when we had Sam Alvey on, we asked him about, his, and you'll see where I'm going with this. Yeah. I'm not talking about somebody else while you're here. No, you'll see where I'm going. So, we talked to Sam about, with him smiling and, the guy across the ring from him sees him smiling and does it get in his face. As I'm talking to you, is your opponent just staring at the mustache? Because I'm looking at you, and that's all I'm seeing is that mustache.
It could be. I never rocked a mustache in my MMA career. I always did the shaved head, shaved face look. And then when I made my first bare knuckle fight, back in 2018, I wanted to do the kind of throwback, traditional kind of pugilist.
The Sullivan
look.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah. The John O'Sullivan look. So. And then I just kind of rolled with it, and I've been doing it ever since, and it's kind of like part of the look now for my bare knuckle fights. But as far as they're staring at my mustache, they might be. If that's distracting, I'm perfect.
then it's working. Matt, you always talk about doing that, I don't even know how you would call that look, but maybe the photo with you with the mustache with that look with the old, J.L. Sullivan thing.
I've taken some pictures like that. It's fun.
It would be funny. What is, I know that you're with Smith Brothers and Kevin, who was right around the corner, and really a good dude. And how did you hook up with him? And what does he do for you in your career?
Well, I was with someone else beforehand. And, those for my originally I was with the Iridium Sports Agency when I was in my MMA career. They weren't really much into the bare knuckle scene. They, Jason House and Jeremy and all them, they're awesome agency when it comes to MMA fighters. worked many big deals for me with Bellator, but they weren't really into the bare knuckle scene. So I got, I asked them, you know, if they're okay with me getting with the bare knuckle manager. I went with this one guy. We fought one show on BKFC with him, and you know, it just didn't work out. We went our separate ways, and I knew Kevin. I knew Kevin was a guy that was managing and working with BKFC a lot. So, you know, reached out to him, and this is actually our first fight together and working together. And he's been nothing but easy to work with. You know, he's definitely an ideal manager that's always there for the fighter, making sure you need everything. He shoots you straight, which is key with me. I like to be shot straight. I don't like smoke blown up my, can I say ass?
No.
No. I don't like smoke blown up my ass. just shoot me straight. Just tell me what it is, and I appreciate that more than anything else.
You know, I've been around the game a long time, started covering the UFC at number one. Number 11 was the first one that I actually covered. And it's amazing how many people don't do that. You know, they'll tell you what they think you want to hear.
Right.
But, like, you'll never find out the truth, you know, tomorrow or a week or 2 weeks down the road. And I agree with you. Just tell me up front. And it's either good or it's bad, but at least I can trust you.
Right. That goes a long way, especially for me. Then, you know, we can make adjustments, whether it's sponsorship, whether it's pay, whether it's you say I'm going to get some type of pay, just shoot me straight. Or you can be like, you know what, we can't get this pay right now. I'm pushing hard. Like, just shoot me straight. That's right. Very important for me. And then we can make adjustments down the road.
When you or Kevin or even, you know, your previous management, when they go out and try to get in, I don't want to know numbers. It's nobody's business. And I hate when a lot of that stuff shows up on the internet. I can't stand that. But are they still saying, well, bare knuckle is still too early? I mean, I know that the people are getting involved, but are they saying, let's wait and see, let's see some more fights? Not necessarily more of your fights, just more of bare knuckle fights.
I think there's a lot of variables that come into play as far as people's pay, in the bare knuckle scene especially. I think one of the ones that hit this industry and this sport, obviously COVID, and then coming back from COVID, you know, this company being able to strive through it, stay open, stay and be ready to continue to do shows once this is, I don't want to say it's over, but right, you know, it's that we're moving forward. And then there's also your marketability. What have you done in the past, whether it be from MMA or in the bare knuckle scene? And then I think that's the biggest thing. And then are you an exciting fighter that's going to go on and put on exciting fights? You put in all those variables together, and then they got to find out where you're going to fit in the car, how much they can pay you, or what is the, you know, what is their cap for fighter salary that show. There's a lot of different variables. But you know what? Everyone wants to get paid more, me included. I always want to get paid more.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. Us fighters, we highly value ourselves, and I highly value myself. So I'm just going to keep putting on great shows and keep trying to get paid more. So.
You know, and it's not even about, you know, whether you highly value or not, it's your job.
Yeah.
You know, we just had Tito on. Tito does the show quite regularly. He has this fight with Anderson Silva. Mm-hmm. When he fought Chuck, we talked about, you know, fans, keyboard warriors calling it a money grab. Mm-hmm. Don't we all money grab?
Right.
Right? I get paid to do this radio show.
Yeah.
You get paid to bare knuckle on Friday.
Yeah.
You should try to get as much money as you can. Absolutely. That's the whole object. Do it this.
Is like they get caught up in a boxer or MMA fighter or we're prize fighters. We're fighting for a prize. You know, we want to fight for the biggest prize. And so that just comes with the territory. For me, you know, I had a good run with Bellator, put on some good highlight reel type of knockouts, but maybe I wasn't as high a tier as a UFC profile fighter, you know, that coming to like a Lombard or Thiago Alves or even like a Paige VanZant, a Chad Mendes. I wasn't that tier, but I'm also not just starting. No one's ever heard of me. Here's your first bare knuckle fight. So I'm kind of right in that middle tier, still trying to get put on exciting fights and get paid more.
So there's been a lot of talk over the past couple of years about the military, and they sponsor the NFL halftime and blah, 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 and that they think that that's a way to get more enlisted. I'm just curious, have the Marines kind of reached out to you, you know, talking about sponsorship and stuff? I mean, it would make sense to sponsor a Marine, not just an event.
No, they haven't. They haven't. That'd be pretty cool if they did. You know, maybe, even like you said, if you keep elevating the name and the brand, I think it's also you're elevating the brand of the sport as well. You know, once it comes to become every state type of legalization or close to every state. It, you know, maybe it's something that happened down the road, you know. I don't know. I've never seen the Marine Corps or the Army, maybe I'm wrong, sponsor one particular fighter.
But why not?
But why not?
Right? If they're sponsoring,
right.
You know, you see
the promotion, right, you know, the promotion. See the promotions, and why not sponsor the
All right, so since we're brothers and the fact that we both have been in the military and this is allowed, and we typically say if you haven't been in the military, you can't say this, but are there any of the military branches that you would not want to sponsor you? Like I would say I wouldn't want the Coast Guard because I'm not 6 feet tall.
Yeah, I would probably say the Coast Guard too. I mean, much love to all you Coast Guardsmen out there. You know, protecting the, you know, our shores, but I mean.
You do know that you have to be 6 feet or taller to be in the Coast Guard, right?
Really?
Yeah, you do.
No kidding.
That way, if their ship sinks, they can walk back to shore.
That is waiting for that punchline.
Yeah, well, you know it was coming. Yeah. Final question for you. I know that.
You can go longer.
What can the fans expect to see, you know, Friday?
Yeah.
They can see highlight reel, like they can see another highlight reel type of finish. I can tell you one thing: if Dakota doesn't go down and stay down, he's gonna get hit in the face a lot. And I have that, and I have a real good ability to do that, especially when it comes to the bare knuckle. I was kind of born and bred for this. I know it's a corny term to say born, but my style of fighting is meant for bare knuckle. Anyone that saw my MMA career, I like to punch people,
right.
And I'm pretty good at it.
And get paid for it.
Get paid for it. But now I get to do it without worrying about other variables that are going on, and I'm just going to continue to show I'm pretty nasty when it comes to bare knuckle.
What are you thinking, if anything, in the middle of a fight? You know, and I ask this a lot of times, and I try to compare it, and it's no comparison, but, you know, doing the radio show, you know, you try to think two questions down, three mm-hmm. questions down, but you also can't do it because I don't know how you're going to answer question number one. But on the same line, if you start thinking, now I'm back to the fight, if you start thinking too far down the road, you're going to miss something right now.
Mm-hmm.
So walk us through it.
Yeah, I'm a very instinctual fighter, but I'm also analyzing. I think I got when my mind is sharp, and I'm, you know, mentally on, physically I'll be there, but when I'm mentally on, I'm really sharp. My fight IQ, in-fight IQ is pretty good. So not only am I reacting instinctually, but I'm also paying attention to the setups, paying attention to certain of my entries, whether it be a punch, a jab, a cross, a hook, how he's responding, does he react, does he slip to the same side every time? And I'm thinking about a setup down the road. Yeah, I do that a lot of my fights, a lot of my bare knuckle fights, I'm looking to set up a shot, whether it's later in that round or in the next round. I'm really analyzing in there. That's when I'm just kind of, like I said, my mentally firing on all cylinders.
Hurt might not be the right word when you get punched or when you're punching somebody, but is it like the adrenaline when they say that, you know, a mother can pick up a car that's fallen on, you know, their child, and you just don't feel it? I mean, are you feeling everything? Or are you just so caught up that sometimes you don't?
I call it like the, I've had many MMA fights in the past, but this last one in bare knuckle, but I've had another bare knuckle fight like this as well, to where it's like you're reading the Matrix. That's the way I tell it. You're just kind of seeing everything that you are throwing, and your movement is super speed, everything that's coming your way, you're seeing it in slow motion that you can react and counter and make, like, that's when you're just really, really sharp.
When you're on.
Yeah, when you're on. Yeah.
Craziest, funniest, and I know they're waiting for you in there. I don't know if you have something, Matt, but my
yeah, I do.
Craziest, funniest, strangest things that's ever happened to you or involving you in the middle of a fight.
Nothing crazy, yeah. Nothing overly crazy in a fight, other than I had a bare knuckle fight, but not in this promotion. But a dude claimed I headbutted him, and I didn't headbutt him, and that caused some weird no contest. That was really frustrating. And then in another fight, I just, you know, having a horrible groin shot, that always sucks.
Yeah, that's just not pleasant. Yeah. You know, we've gotten some stories. One guy said that right in the middle of the fight, he knew he didn't want to be there anymore. You know, now it's not good for him, but it is kind of just how these things happen. Mm-hmm. My favorite one is Dennis Seaver was in a fight, and I forget who the opponent was, and he said that, you know, he hears Dennis Seaver in his corner talking, you know, in German, because they're from Germany. Mm-hmm. And for, he said, about 8 seconds, he could see in the back of his mind. What's the movie? The
Inglourious Basterds.
So he's watching the movie in his brain in the middle of a fist fight. And he had to, like, catch himself.
Yes.
I'm in a fist fight. I got to stop watching the movie. Awesome.
That's, you know, really, yeah, breaking down something weird in a fight. I can't say I've ever had an experience like that. But that's wild.
I guess that's good. Go ahead, Matt.
So Mike, going back a question ago, the that slow motion effect of being in a fist fight, that's actually your sympathetic nervous system that takes over. And on Friday, my partner from Denver are driving to Omaha to be there for your fight. And we're going to have Melvin Gilliard with us, who also fought Dennis Seaver. But we're going to have the only vertical gym east of Colorado at Omaha, so you can check out, see what it's like to train in that sympathetic response without the emotional trigger. And there's only 3 in the world. So yeah, after your fight on Saturday, if you want to hop up and check it out, you will absolutely have an access to. But yeah, it's game changing, bro.
No, that's badass. Yeah, I've had, like I said, I've experienced a handful of fights like that where you just see everything, and they can't get to you. It's just, you're just firing on mentally on all cylinders, and you're just 20 steps ahead of them.
And that's what we do in training. So when you're actually in that, it slows everything down, and you're just more comfortable in that environment. So I can't wait to show it to you. I can't wait to see your fight on Friday. It's going to be fireworks, I know.
Cool, man. I appreciate it.
I can't wait to see Mike in the Macho Man, Randy Savage socks.
Yeah, I can't wait.
And there's more than one pair.
Yeah, I can't wait to put those bad boys on.
So, oh, you know what? I did bring something. This is one of my prized possessions, and I brought it just because of you.
Yeah.
Don't get too attached to it. You know, we may be good, cool friends and stuff, but...
Fight him for it, Mike. Fight him.
Do what?
Fight him for it. Winner keeps all.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I just put it out. No thoughts, nothing?
I'm sorry. They're just asking me when I'll be ready. That is freaking awesome.
It's like a 3-inch. You've seen my Macho Man little thing that I got from Country Depot. Was such a cool dude.
That's awesome.
You know,
I wish I would have been able to meet the guy.
So yeah, I mean, it's definitely a shame. All right, I know the guys are inside waiting for you. I already emailed to find out where the box is. Mm-hmm. They're either going to overnight it, or I'll send Matt to the store tomorrow, because he doesn't come until tomorrow night.
Okay.
We will make sure you have these in time. I promise. All right, let's go hit a quick. Oh, for coming on. All right, I sent you the earbuds from last week, right? The Jabra earbuds. Did I tell you about that?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, you should have already gotten them. So they should be there, too.
Okay.
And some 8-man strong gear again. I'll get you more of that for coming up. So, all right, let's go hit a break as the Marine heads in to go talk to Sean and Chris. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-man strong and Staff Sun.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, hi, this is Mike Schmidt. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Gottsplit and Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Gottsplit Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products and pick up a pair today.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay for their premier gala, Tuxes and Tales, Enchanted Scotland, on October 23rd at the Tampa Convention Centre. This black tie event will feature adoptable pets, silent auction, cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, after party with dancing and cigar bar by the Riverwalk. This event sells out every year. Make sure you purchase your tickets and sponsorships today. Become a sponsor or purchase tickets at TuxesTalesTampa.com.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
What's up, guys? You're listening to Knockout Radio. This is the Russian Hammer. Choo choo, motherfuckers.
And we're back. Coming to you live from Omaha, Nebraska. I'm getting ready to walk across the street. I was told, I don't know who that guy was that was on your Facebook page when you put that photo up that you were actually pretending to do research and said that there's a better steakhouse than the one that I was told to go to. Who was that person?
That's Officer Friendly, otherwise known as St. Pete Police Officer Bobby Peters, who is a motorcycle police officer and one of my longtime friends and supporters. And he's from the area, so he was giving you some tips on where to go as I was dug deep into the research to prepare for today's show.
You know, Johnny Bedford's back on with us. He has a headset on, and he's too nice a guy to say he doesn't believe you.
Well, okay, look, the photo was a little staged, okay? The coffee cup had nothing in it, and the computer wasn't plugged in, nor was the screen on. But listen, the point is that I made it look good on social media.
No, you did.
But I did do real research.
All right. Before you ask your real research or bring up your real research, I want to know the best location, Johnny Bedford, that you or your dad put one of those mats.
Well, I don't get to see what my dad's done it. And honestly, having my dad is probably the greatest thing for me because I'm terrible at saving and taking care of shit like that.
Stuff.
Things like that.
Stuff.
Things like that. And I made the comment to him just a couple weeks ago in Biloxi. I said, I'm really glad that you take all this stuff because I know I'll eventually get it, get it back one day. And he goes, you're exactly. It made him proud of
himself. Sure.
You know what I mean? Because he literally has any poster of small MMA shows in the middle of nowhere. if my face or name was on it, he's got it. I almost guarantee it. So it's really cool, you know. We are trying to figure out where to put that cool mat inside my gym. I kind of was like, hey, let's put it as like the welcome mat.
Right.
I was like, no, it's too nice. My partners won't let me do that. They don't want it, like, it to be walked on hundreds of times a day. So I don't know, we'll put it on the wall, I guess, next to a banner or something. We'll do something cool with it.
What do you, since you're involved with the mat company, Matt, where's a good place to display something like that?
Oh, I have one thumbtacked up on my office wall. The mock photo that I showed today has one hanging behind me from the UFC event. I use them as mouse pads. You know, you can use them. I have a Johnny Bedford, same one that you have, Johnny. I have a big one underneath my office chair to stop the sound of the wheels on the wood floor. So it's a softener, you know, and you know, it keeps the floor from getting scuffed up. So, you know, there's a lot of uses. I mean, hell, you could take, you know, maybe some older ones and put them underneath your car in the garage so it doesn't leak oil in the concrete. So there's a lot of, like, purposeful, useful things that happen, you know, with them afterwards.
I guess you could do that. And I was hoping to get one of the Johnny Bedfords, but Johnny's dad never said no. Every time.
Yeah, he's a collector. That guy's a collector. Yeah. He's like, collector. One day Mike Wolf's going to knock on his door and he's going to have all of them.
What's your favorite piece of memorabilia that you have, whether it's something of yours or something, you know, that you might have been able to acquire?
Oh, cool question. I have the first pair of UFC gloves that I wore. So my UFC debut, those gloves that I wore that day. It's a big moment for me in my
sure.
career. Just actually figured out what I was going to do with them the other day. We got the Ultimate Fighter jerseys signed by everyone from not only my team, but the other team. You know, our seasons went on to do some great things. So, you know, that's cool. But ultimately, I mean, the only thing I really care about at the end of the day is what's, I'm trying to find a great place to hang it right now, and that's my world championship belt.
Go ahead.
That's what means the most to me. It's kind of a pinnacle of my career of sorts, you know what I mean? It was like, someone shared a link the other day, and I'm going all over the place, but it was the first time I beat Reggie, and it was said, Daddy did it, world champion. It was like me talking to my kids after I won it, and I was like, that moment for me was like,
means everything.
All worth it.
Sure.
Like, why? You know what I mean? So many people told me, like, get a real job. I was fighting in 2005, saying I want to be a professional fighter. Just go get a real job, dude. Go get a real job. I never quit. I just stayed on this path. And yeah, so memorabilia, I think one day I'm going to have an awesome room, thanks to my dad.
Right.
Give him credit.
Right.
You and Matt both know him well enough, because if you're in the media, he's going to get to know you because you've got something with my face on it. He wants it.
I don't want to correct you, but since we're friends, that had nothing to do with, you know, meeting your dad. It was just, you know, when you just talk, when you're a real person, and he is, and you are, and I am. I'm not still sure if Matt is, but, you know, of the three or the four of us, you know, and you just communicate and talk, and, you know, it's good stuff. But, you know, when you said about, you know, some of the things that you didn't keep, and luckily your dad did, you know, I try to tell all these athletes that I talk to, you know, in the NFL, they think they're too good to do that. You know, they're my peers, they're this, I don't want to do it. And if I told you how many athletes then come back to me later and say, I played against Peyton Manning and I never really asked, and I could have asked, and I should have asked. And, you know, so I always stress that, you know, it's time flies, and then you get old and you don't remember things. And then you like, look at that poster. I remember that poster per se. Yeah,
absolutely. I'm thankful. Dad's got a cool collection that'll be in my possession one day.
If you could collect anything, one item, anything. Now, I have the greatest answer that's ever been told to me, but what would that one thing be? Money's not an object. It can be absolutely anything.
If I could collect anything, what would it be?
I don't want to tell him the Leonard answer until he...
I'm going to give you a Texas answer. And I don't even have a bunch of them now, so I don't know. I could be a way bigger gun collector. I think I'd have fun if I was a gun collector. But I'm thinking of, like, what do people collect? Stamps, baseball cards. I don't know.
So
terrible answer. I'm waiting for your
question. Okay, so here's the greatest answer of all time. You know, and people always bring up things that they collect. I don't remember what you even said, Matt, but
mine was Hoist Gracie's gi.
Okay, he said Hoist
Gracie. The original gi from the Ultimate Fighter 1.
So Leonard Wester is on, former Tampa Bay Buccaneer, really good guy, really religious guy, and he's one of the few religious people that I can have a conversation with. Because, and I think you and I have even talked about this, I don't mind religion. I don't mind if you have and believe. Right. Just don't try to cram it down my throat. And once you do, that's where I kind of get rubbed the wrong way. Well, Leonard has never done that. I love this guy to death. So I asked him, because I don't really collect anything. And I kind of forced. I'm like, no, you got to come up with something. And he goes, Jesus Christ sandals. That's like a mic drop. That's like, yeah.
Like, what would that be worth on eBay right now? Like,
well, not even what it's worth. You know, I'm not even saying the value of it, but yeah, I mean, the Vatican would probably give you the Vatican for them. But I mean, Jesus Christ sandals. Crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah. You know, somebody might say, you know, some big car from some big movie, or, you know, my stupid answer, I'm sure, would be something Rocky Balboa or something. No, he comes up with Jesus Christ sandals.
Well, you saw the DeLoreans for sale, right?
Well, it's been sold before.
Well, but it says low miles, only driven from time to time.
Only Matt. I hate to talk fights, but let me, you know, you brought it up about, you know, what's next or when next. When is next? We know who you want to fight.
Yeah. We're going to shake some people down this week. We're going to get that answer. I'm here on a business trip to coach, but I get to see my bosses. And I'm going to hopefully get some answers. It's not that they're avoiding me. I've got a weird series of events coming up. Not weird at all, actually, but good series of events.
I hope it's not what I think it is.
So I'm getting married.
I know. And you said that's weird.
Well, weird in the sense of what I do for a living. You got to kind of plan those
around,
things out.
Right,
event.
Right.
You know, I can't just call off work and say I'm getting married next weekend. I'm trying to fight one more time this year. Before that happens, I'm getting married New Year's Eve, so the last day of the year, December 31st. So I'd like to fight. She would probably say November's better, but I know they.
So you could be cleaned up for photos.
She doesn't want me with black eyes and stitches. But I say I want to fight so bad before, because I want to enjoy my time on my wedding, and we're going to Costa Rica afterwards, and I can't fight in January. So, you know, I'm not going to go enjoy myself in Costa Rica. If I wouldn't even accept the fight in January.
Right, you could.
So
you can't.
I am pushing to fight in late November, early December, get one more in this year. That'll be three this year. That makes me happy. That makes my bank account happy. I like to fight. Timing works out great. I don't know that I'll get, per se, the fight that I want.
That's what I was just
saying. Everyone, I think, wants. Literally everyone, the promotion, the media, the fans, the me, except for him.
Why do you think that's the fight everybody wants? Because of the trash talking and everything that's been said, or, you know, because of the outcome and nobody really expected that, you know, from your side, of course?
Both. I think that he's delusional, if I'm being honest. He became a champion. I walked out of the ring. I gave him his moment. He's the champ. I thought I'd get my immediate rematch. Being the champ, I don't think he really significantly beat me. I let him get his hand raised. I didn't throw a temper tantrum. But I thought we were going to do this thing again. He's delusional. He's delusional. So during contract negotiations, trying to get this fight lined up, bare knuckles in a weird spot, because they had number one contender Reggie Barnett saying, I'm 6-1, I was supposed to fight that, let me fight him. I'm the former champ, undefeated until that loss. They're trying to probably give him a rematch, they didn't know what to do. And then they're negotiating with that. And there's more than one way to say you don't want to fight somebody.
Sure.
Just ask for stupid amount of money.
Sure.
That's what we did, and the promotion said, well, we've got to move on. And they released him. So it made sense for me and Reggie to fight. But of course, as soon as he sees they're serious, he comes back to the table like, I'll take less money. Now I want to fight. So they came to an agreement. They brought him back, but kind of, you know, never defended his belt, kind of crapped on our division of sorts. So they're saying they're not getting him to come back at 135. There's not really a 145-pound division. Artem Lobov retired. Jason Knight left to go to the PFL. 145's kind of dead. He keeps barking that he wants to go to 155 and fight Luis Palomino. I think that's way too big of a man for him. It makes no sense for him. I don't know what's going to happen. If Bare Knuckle's going to let that actually happen and Palomino and Gatwin actually fight, maybe. But I'm going to fight Gatwin again because he's not going to beat Palomino. He's just too small. And he's going to still have a big mouth and still say that he thinks he's the bantamweight champ. And I'm still holding that belt, and I'm not going to be happy until I get my rematch, and I'll call it revenge, but I just want to revenge.
Sure, sure.
I want to fix the mistakes that I made. I fought that fight. I fought that win. Personal issues, but I also just fought a bad fight. I just respected him too much at first, and once I got going, like, rounds 4 and 5 were easy. I beat him up, so I just need to do that all 5 rounds.
I was going to ask, why don't you just not fight him? But it's things that you need to do. It's not him fighting you. It's you fighting him.
That's 100% correct. He should not want to fight me again. He should take his win and run. But you're right. I'm not going to be happy. And luckily for me, the sport's new. It makes sense. I think the fans want to see a rematch. I think it would sell. So I think that we're going to cross hairs again for sure. He's going to have to come back down to 135. They're going to give him a title shot as long as I'm still holding that belt. Which,
if it's not him, who would you like?
I think they've got him lined up already. I think they know who they want me to fight. And Jared Grant, young kid, hungry, 4-0 bare knuckle with the sport being so new. He's definitely the top contender. Let's do it. December, Jared Grant. I'll beat him up, and then I'll wait for I'll go get married and go to Costa Rica, and I can fight that in March.
Good stuff. What time are we setting up Johnny on the back of the circus mobile?
The GNAT will be in Omaha.
Yeah, if you go to Biloxi, you may have a problem.
Well, Friday midday, we'll get him up on it. And I'm like, oh, Randy, are you going to ask me about my serious, like, trivia questions, or are you just going to, like, all my research go to waste?
Well, I know what – we'll let him do it, Johnny, but let me explain something to you real quick. So early in this relationship with Matt and myself, Matt came prepared, or so he thought.
Day one.
He came – was it day one?
Day one. It was day one.
He probably had 100 pieces of paper. Okay, so he did a lot of work. So one of the things he talked about were celebrities that lived in the Tampa Bay area. Okay? 4 of the 10 were dead because his research was 10 years old.
So, there's no stipulation on time frame.
It really scares me. But go ahead. Well, what do you got?
So Johnny, earlier we talked to Tito Ortiz. We established that through healthy diet and recovery and just staying active, you can still fight and perform later in life at age 46 at the highest level. We established through Tito's advice that eating donuts and fast food and biscuits and gravy and Diet Coke, that it will hinder your performance in life. So Randy is about 30 right now. He looks older.
You know,
obviously.
If you're vaccinated, you get 2 free Krispy Kremes a day.
He's had 17 shots. It's crazy. But the
I get 36
is,
donuts a day. Go ahead.
But the question is, Johnny Bedford, the champ, how old were you in September of 2008?
2008?
13 years ago.
And 25
13 years less than you are now.
25 years old.
So 25 years old, the UFC Fight Night 15 was in Omaha, Nebraska. Did you know that? And it was featured on Spike TV. And I'll read you the names on the card. And it's pretty remarkable that some 13 years later, these guys are still fighting, still entertaining, still doing what they love long into their golden years.
Can I say one? Can I predict one?
Of course.
Well, I think he fought at UFC 2 as well. Andre Arlovsky?
No, he was not on this card.
I'm just being sarcastic because that guy's still, it's amazing.
Arlovsky's, he's going to fight Father Time next.
Did you see him on, what is it, AEW, the new wrestling program? So Dan Lambert did, I don't remember, and I know Joey Gomez corrected me on the shoot. What's a shoot and what's a work? Which is which?
I don't remember.
Because well, you were there when he explained it. You know, one's like a fake and one, you know, whatever. I forgot where I was going. I forgot what I was just talking about.
The AEW, the Arlovsky.
So Dan Lambert did a shoot or whatever it is, and you know he's like, you know, I brought all my boys here. We're gonna havoc. And it was Arlovsky. It was Junior Dos Santos. It was Masvidal. I don't remember the fourth. And then it was two wrestlers. And you know Dan Lambert's a huge wrestling fan. And the thing that he collects, he told me, is just belts. So he has all of these, you know, championship wrestling belts. That I'm sure you don't like because it's scripted, not real.
I grew up in the mecca of real wrestling. So professional wrestling was kind of a bad word of sorts growing up. But as an adult now, I respect what those guys do for a living, for sure.
So it's the same when people say, what time is your podcast on? And it's the same thing because this isn't a podcast. This is real radio, FCC, blah, 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 blah. And then you look at Joe Rogan, who's doing a pretty successful podcast, right? So I get it.
So Ren, so the first fight on the main card back 13 years ago on Spike TV was Eric Schuster Schaefer versus Houston Alexander.
Wow. Okay.
Also on that fight card, Alan Belcher taking on Ed Herman.
Okay. Ed Herman's still fighting.
Still fighting. UFC. Yeah.
Clay Guida.
Of course
it is. Beat Mac Danzig.
Oh, wow.
And Nate Diaz.
Still fighting.
Yeah. Beat Josh Neer.
The dentist Neer.
Who's still fighting?
I don't think so. Is he?
I thought he's doing something here. I thought I read something about that.
Maybe. I know Houston Alexander was the first one he said. He's fighting this weekend.
Yep.
Belcher's Alan Belcher.
UFC. The other two guys, they're still fighting in the UFC. Nate Diaz is still in the UFC today. Who else did you say?
Clay Guida. Ed Herman just fought a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Wow.
And Clay. Yeah. Give me your thoughts on Friday night. I mean, have you looked at the card? Have you looked at, you know, other than the names? Obviously, we know Houston Alexander. Obviously, we know Mike, who's been now on the program back-to-back weeks. Any thoughts?
You asking Matt or me?
I'm asking Matt.
Oh, I thought you were talking to Johnny. Johnny's the champ. He's the one that's got the insight.
I was just curious what kind of research you did. Was it all just silly nothingness, or did you look at
the card? What do you mean nothingness? I was talking, I looked up Omaha. I looked up, I said, Google, where in the hell is Omaha, Nebraska? And then I was like, what are things close nearby to do? And it said Chicago, Detroit. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Well, I was gonna say that's the Google stuff you should have done. You know, if you're an intern on this program, you need to, you know, let me know where to go, you know, when the show's over. You know, something that I can go do for enjoyment after I eat the steak.
When the show's over, we're going to Miami to watch the Triller fight with the former number 45th president of the U.S.
Did you hear that?
I did.
Trump's commentating.
Yeah. Well, Sean Wheelock's commentating. Yeah. And he said he's flying out. And I made the joke. I said, so you're commentating with Trump? And he said, I just found out about it, too. I have no idea what's going to happen. But
should be interesting.
It should be.
Now, my wife brought up. Not only, and Matt brought up that we're flying on 9/11, which is bad, then we're flying to Fort Lauderdale to be in a building with the former president with nuts running around. 9/11 could be a bad day.
I didn't think about it as 9/11.
Yeah?
Yeah.
20th. The 20th anniversary of 9/11.
Well, yeah, I fly home and I'm coaching that night in a Guns N' Roses event, Police versus Fireman.
Really?
On 9/11. So it'll be cool. I've got a fireman that I'm coaching.
You mentioned that you're coaching here, so I assumed who was being interviewed is talk about your guy. I mean, who, what, where, how, and when?
Yeah, my guy making his bare knuckle debut. Talented kid, really talented kid. I struggle because I own a gym and I have a really. I'm very proud of the MMA team that I have there. They're a young team, and we're accomplishing great things. I didn't know if I wanted them to step into bare knuckle yet. You have all for different reasons, but this one was special. I was like, I need to let this one go. And I tried out. I spoke highly of him. Bare knuckle liked him, and here we are today making our bare knuckle debut. But this kid's special in a way that I met him. He was 8-0 in amateur boxing, and he said he wanted to fight MMA. Since I've taken him under my wing, he's now 6-0 in amateur MMA, 1-0 in pro MMA. The kid's never lost a fight in his life. I mean, he's 15-0 in combat sports. But he's a little different than most of the kids in my gym. Most of the kids in my gym are kids that are from the suburbs that are grew up doing jiu-jitsu and they grew up wanting to be a fighter. This kid's a little different where he grew up rough around the edges. I mean, there's silly YouTube videos of him fighting 4-on-1. He's the one.
Really?
And he's winning. I mean, he's in high school because no one wants to get hit by him. That's the real truth. He's blessed with a big, he's heavy-handed. When he hits these people, they don't only fall asleep, they go like stiff. And they fall, and it's not good. And I've watched it over and over and over again in the corner, and I'm like, this kid's special. And the world's going to find out on Friday night. This kid hits this guy Friday night, he's going to sleep.
How do you teach him, or how does he learn? There's a big difference, I would assume, from a street fight, a 4-on-1, you know, whatever, to a professional competition that you have to be careful. You have to be careful where you hit and how you hit. How does he learn it, or how do you teach it?
Luckily, he was already competing. So he got out of that street fighting crap a little before me. That was just young and dumb stuff. So he's already won a gold glove titles when I met him. He was already pretty savvy in the ring, but part of it, he just believes in himself. I mean, because he has never lost. That'll take you a long ways when you believe in yourself. But no, we've tightened up things. Bare knuckle's different. You don't have gloves on. You have to be careful, like you said. Pick your shots, right? You don't get to go out there and just be this throwing haymakers over the top, because you start hitting people on top of the head, your hands are going to turn to dust. Sure. It's a completely different game. You know.
What's his name?
JC De Leon. He's actually, I just looked it up. He's the first fight on the main card. So when the pay-per-view starts, it's going to start with a bang.
All right, so here's what I think we ought to do on, well, we can't do it because he fights Friday night, but what I'd like to set up is, for every minute that you do on that ridiculous thing on the back of the Jeep, Matt has to go with JC the same amount of times, bare knuckle.
That's just stupid. Why would you put that kid in danger like that? He's a nice kid. Oh, you mean for me to fight?
Oh, you're a nice kid. I think we should do that. We could do it after the fight.
I want to see the
machine. Listen, Johnny, talk about...
Yeah, it's coming. It'll be here Friday by noon.
Yeah.
Matt's flying to Denver to get his partners, because Matt has one on his Jeep and Brandon has one. Then they're going to drive from Denver here.
With Melvin Gilliard. We're picking up Melvin. We're going to just work out across the state where we stop at rest areas and gas stations.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Now that I think about it, you need to bring Eric from Denver as well.
Oh, yeah. I could pick up Eric for sure.
Yeah, I'll set it up as soon as we're done. But, you know, we only got 2 more minutes with Johnny, so.
Yeah, Bedford, listen. But you're talking about picking your shots earlier.
I just called my last name, Bedford.
Okay. Bedford, listen. Like, so earlier, Randy and I were talking. You were talking about picking your shots. And, you know, Randy talked about how he was unprofessional in his young career. After a fight or an event, he jumped up in the ring.
It wasn't my young career. I was an adult.
Okay, he was an adult.
I was very unprofessional. Did I tell you this? All right, so it was an affliction. Tim Sylvia was fighting. I think he fought Fedor that night. And I'm sitting in row 3. Roy Nelson's behind me in row 5. The fight ends, and some guy gets in the ring, and he's being interviewed. The most unprofessional thing I've ever done in my life. I jumped in the ring to get a picture with Donald Trump. Right? It's Donald Trump. Now, this was before
he was Donald Trump.
This might even have been before The Apprentice. I'm not sure. I'd have to really look. But, you know, I've always liked the guy.
You still have the picture?
I do. I'll show it to you in 2 minutes.
So Johnny, who's that one guy? Like, if you were going to take it, risk it all, lose the belt, lose the reputation, lose your credential, lose your, you know, pride. Who's that one person, like, that you would risk it all for? Like, you know, Randy's was Donald Trump.
Is there, Rocky is Balboa.
Wow, I don't know. He does have. Look it up. What year is that?
I don't know. I'll look it up.
You show me the picture.
Yeah. I do look kind of young, don't I?
Yes, you do.
I'm actually smiling too, and I normally.
That was before all the biscuits and the Diet Coke.
Yeah, it does. You got 30 seconds to answer.
I don't know. Today I'm gonna actually steal him. I'd say it'd be Donald Trump. I'm a super fan right now, but I don't know that I would necessarily make a fool of myself and jump in a ring. But
I didn't make a fool of myself. I just jumped in the ring.
I had my moment when I was on Ultimate Fighter, and it's probably not one you would expect. Rafael Cordero walked in, who was 2011, so he was known as coaching Wanderlei Silva and Shogun Rua, and he walked into coach class one day, and I was like,
that's your guy. Yeah. All right, I'm going to tweet what year that photo was taken, and I'll tweet the photo as well. We are out of time. Johnny, as always, thank you very much. Go to oddsockofficial.com. It's one of my new sponsors. We'll get you some of these cool socks. Where do you take a look at this? All right, we're out. We'll see you whenever you get here, Matt. This is
Friday.
Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sun. See everybody next week.
She said, look, what's your...
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I'm Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Cronister, and if you don't listen to Knockout Radio, you may just find yourself in one of my jails.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.